Trends in commercial real estate in the Chicago area, the topic of our thought leader conversation today. We're happy to have with us Greg Worsak. He's the Senior Vice President and Senior Regional Manager of Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. And he's with us for our thought leader conversation. We do this every Thursday. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve.
Good to see you.
Great to be back.
Spring has sprung. How are things going in your world?
We're heading into the busy season right now, traditionally with commercial real estate lending, just after spring break. Until the end of June, it gets very, very busy for us.
Is there a hot spot or a hot trend that you're seeing?
We're seeing pretty good strength from all the asset classes, quite honestly. Still quite a bit of demand for multifamily. Office has really picked up quite a bit, especially in Chicago. And we're seeing a lot more storage, medical office, and quite a bit of industrial, a lot of infill.
We often focus on Chicago and don't really mention the suburbs that all that often in our conversations. But how's the health of the suburbs?
The suburbs are actually very strong. We're seeing terrific opportunities. I mean, it's a series of submarkets. So depending on what they're trying to do in each one of those submarkets, there's a lot of real interesting opportunities where there hasn't been much development in the last 20 to 30 years. Especially town centers where there's a metro stop. There's a lot of unserviced needs there in terms of for sale product, multifamily, nice apartment buildings that haven't been built in years. There's some retail opportunities. So there's been some really interesting deals that we've done in the last couple of years.
And so what do you think might develop in those areas? Are we looking for fast food going in near there or a grocery? What do you see happening?
You know, most of that seems pretty well established. What we're seeing more of is maybe redevelopment of some of these retail storefronts, making it a little nicer town center. But the big thing we're seeing are new apartments and for sale opportunities. A lot of people want to downsize out of their homes into in-town living in their communities. You know, the kids go off to school. They don't need the big house anymore, but they want to stay in the community. They're still entrenched. And some choose to downsize into ownership, which is condo. And then others, which is one of the big trends, is a lot of empty nesters going into apartments. You sell the home, you untap all that capital, you invest it, and you become a renter. It gives you a lot more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. One of the data points from this week, we saw housing starts come out and building permits, construction permits are up. Even though we didn't see much building in the last month or so, people have pulled a lot of those permits. Are you seeing that on the ground as well?
We're seeing it pretty significantly. There's a lot of pent-up demand to the extent that we can, our clients can get it entitled and get it built. If it's well located, priced right, nice design, it's doing extremely well. All the projects that we're financing are sold out or near sellout.
It seems that this spring has been, from a weather standpoint, pretty good, pretty stable. Is that helping these numbers and helping the arrows go up?
It's helping quite a bit. In fact, I would say the mild winter really helped because a lot of projects that generally get mothballed with the mild winter we had in Chicago, they worked right through the winter. We had so many mild days that a lot of the projects are ahead of schedule right now.
Yeah, one of the things that I use to judge that is I live in Uptown, and they're rebuilding the Wilson L station, and they've been working every day regardless. It's been nice. It's rarely that I see them not working because of weather.
We've seen it on all of our projects, so we're pretty excited because we're coming into that busy season right now for lease-up rentals. This is the big rental time. And some of that infrastructure investment, like that stop near where you live, that kind of thing really revitalizes neighborhoods, which leads into new opportunities for me because the developers see that investment and it kind of snowballs off that in terms of further development in that community.
Yeah, because sometimes it gets lost in the headlines that we see a new metro station being built or a new L station, and there's all of a sudden, like, we'll use Wilson stop again, a 15-story building going up across the street with condos, another down the street, another 15-story with residential and maybe even business. Those things help build the neighborhoods.
I totally agree. Another great example is the Ravenswood Metro stop that they completely redid. There's a Mariano's right there that we financed for a very good client of ours. That was a redevelopment opportunity. We were financing the other corner on the other side, which is a mixed-use retail, office, and apartments. So when you do that kind of thing, and it's pushing down the streets in either directions as a result, that's one of the busiest metro stops in Chicago.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Mariana's. That place alone is my Mary. That's where I go. It's more than just a grocery store. It has a bar in the lower level. It has a workout facility. It's like it's almost a gathering place for that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's one of their top performing stores. When that opened, it set some new records in terms of sales per square foot. And that's really what, you know, investors are looking at when they look at these grocery-anchored type developments.
We had from Cranes on earlier this week, the reporter who covered this next story, speaking again of Mariano's, this standalone grocery store in the suburbs. It's a Mariano's store. Major investment, sold in 10 days. What is it about those types of properties that are so appealing?
Is that the one in Des
Plaines? Yeah, Gulf Road.
We actually financed that one, too. We like grocery anchored. We like the Mariano's concept. It's new construction. It's a well managed company, and frankly, the asset became even more desirable when Kroger acquired Mariano's, because now you have a very strong investment grade company behind these outstanding real estate investment opportunities. So we like the concept quite a bit. Grocery anchored. Or even these freestanding grocery opportunities are not going away. They're not really what's being impacted by e-commerce. I think the whole concept of buying food online the way you buy everything else online is going to be slow to come. People still like the experience. Like, you probably like to go right, into
absolutely.
Mariano's. There's a lot of prepared food. Look at wines. There's flowers. There's just things that you can't experience online.
Yeah, you can grab a beer and walk around in the store and do your shopping, or a glass of wine. It's kind of nice. And I like to squeeze vegetables. I like to touch it all. I'm not going to be one of those online people, I don't think. But you mentioned Kroger in this. So that means it's a long-term investment. A place like Kroger is going to keep it going for a while. Is that why it's a good investment?
Definitely. I mean, when Kroger's investment grade, so from an investment standpoint, people are going to now look at the Mariano assets, and there's going to be even more desire for those assets. Previously, they were owned by Roundy's, and, you know, it's a tough business. It's really thin margins, but when you've got somebody with the girth of Kroger behind it now, they're even more desirable assets. That's why you saw it traded quickly.
Yeah. Are there other locations like that? Are there other investment, commercial real estate investments like that waiting to be done, deals to be done?
There's a few of them. It's hard to tell how much Kroger is going to expand the Mariano's concept further in Chicago. We're financing one up in Bannockburn. There are a few that we're hearing about, but it remains to be seen how much runway is left with building Mariano's. I will say, you know, you look at from a redevelopment standpoint, you still have those Dominick grocery stores that were out there, and there were 89 of those. And talking to my friends at Mid-America, which are really experts in this space, you know, they said that there's only 18 left that need to be re-tenanted. 71 of them have been re-tenanted by Mariano's, Jewel, Whole Foods. So, you know, even when a grocer goes out, there's a lot of need for these types of centers in the community, so they backfill pretty quickly.
You mentioned all of the activity that's going on. I'm guessing the answer to this question, next question, is going to be yes, but maybe you could fill in some of the blanks. Commercial real estate's still a good investment. It's still a good area to be investing in.
There's, you know, all the indicators are that it's still a strong sector to be in. I have a lot of clients that have made quite a bit of wealth over the years. There's a lot to suggest that this is going to continue. It's a very desirable asset class. It's if you look back 15, 20, 30 years compared to stocks and bonds, real estate has been a really solid, stable investment. With that being said, you do have downturns. And the last one that we had, the last recession, was frankly catastrophic for some developers. And unfortunately, some of them didn't make it out. They're not in the business anymore. So, you know, it's high risk, but it's definitely high reward.
What are some of the things that one would look for if they were going to get into this investing? Is it, do they look at the jobs picture? Do they look at the overall economy? Do they look at the price for rents, the sale prices? What are some of the factors people can look at to decide whether or not this is a safe area?
Yeah, you got to look at the macro elements like you were just mentioning, but then you also need to look at, what does that mean to certain asset classes? I mean, commercial real estate has multiple asset classes, and what does that information tell you about that specific asset class? And the advice that I give my clients or people getting into real estate investment or even looking for a loan is, find a niche that you are interested in, that you understand, and you become an expert in that. Last night I was out for dinner with a couple of clients, and they were experts in self-storage and experts in converting commercial buildings into cool multifamily, apartments for millennials that are affordable. So you got to find your niche and then figure out how those macro indicators, are going to impact those niches.
We've talked before about how geography plays into this, too. Chicago's pretty well-suited right now, isn't it? I was looking at this report, the global locations trends, and here we are right after London, Paris, Amsterdam, Bangkok, Singapore, and then Chicago. So we're right up there in the top 10.
We're finally getting some great visibility globally. The reality is that most of the foreign investment really hasn't found its way to Chicago. If you look at where the money's going to, it's predominantly New York, San Francisco, really more international cities. And it's what foreign investors know are those cities, but they're finally discovering Chicago. And I think there's a lot of runway there because historically, and even if you look at 2016, we only saw about 10% of the foreign investment that was made in the U.S.
How does that how do they find us? Is it the case for local mayors and local leaders, government leaders and investors and bankers like yourself going to these places and saying, hey, come to Chicago?
I think that's part of it. I mean, Chicago has made an effort to get the name out and internationally, get some exposure. Some of it's the brokerage community. When you have assets for sale, it's not just a distribution to domestic brokers. It's going more globally now. You have the likes of CBRE and JLL that are more global in their reach. And so now you're, when something's for sale in Chicago, it's distributed globally, especially of size. Foreign investors tend to like the big deals.
Mm-hmm. And despite, some negative headlines here or there, Chicago seems to still be a place that's attracting not just business but tourism. So it still has that reputation, a good reputation, despite some of the other negatives.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. It's really improved quite a bit. And, from a reputation standpoint, it's moving up quickly. But we still have issues out there with the state and city economy, the crime issues, some of this negative press. It just kind of keeps creeping in. And it does come up with the foreign investors when they're looking at assets here.
Yeah, I had last Friday off and was doing a suburbs city errands run, and it's just amazing how many cranes are in the air all over and flowers coming up too, so good signs for spring.
You bet.
All right, Greg, good to see you, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good, Steve. Thank you.
Greg Warsek is the Senior Vice President, Senior Regional Manager of Commercial Real Estate in the Chicago Market for Associated Bank. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And we will have more to say on our podcast on this. Check it out later this morning and then again next Thursday right here on the opening bell.